A Nobel Prize winner who uses AI to make her poverty research go even farther. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Esther Duflo is one of this year's winners of the Nobel Prize in Economics. She and her colleagues won for their unique approach to tackling poverty. They tried to break up huge problems like immunization or educational opportunity into smaller problems. And then the team comes up with questions about what might work and uses randomized controlled trials, which are traditionally used in medicine and hard sciences, to compare the impact of specific approaches. And then, says Duflo, the team uses artificial intelligence and machine learning to deploy the findings of their research in the most efficient way possible. Here's Esther Duflo.
It gets learning to a deeper level, if you want. It gives you one more level of action, which is to say, not just whether the program is effective on average, which you can get from the experiment, but where the program is the most effective, and therefore where a government with limited budget would want to expand it. And it's very useful because otherwise the government will be saying, well, that's nice, incentives are effective, but they are expensive. So what am I going to do? How to choose where to put them? Mm-hmm. So that's where the machine learning really comes in.
Do you worry about data integrity? Like, we know that sometimes algorithms can reinforce bias. Do you worry that errors could be introduced by governments who are working with data sets that maybe just reinforce the old ways?
I do worry about the bias that exists in the algorithm, not for the moment, because they are so underused in governments that I don't think there is any damage that they are doing right now, but certainly for the future. The algorithms tend to reinforce existing biases because they are learning from our previous experiences. And one of the things that we need to be proactive about is to make sure it doesn't happen. And that's where I think it's essential to not think that the use of any artificial intelligence is going to be a substitute for policymaking and mindful thinking, but it has to be a complement.
Is cost a barrier, cost of accessing this technology or creating these algorithms for developing countries and their governments?
I think it goes in the opposite direction. One of the big values of larger access to digital data processing, to the algorithm, and to just, you know, better way to handle the data in general and to process the data that government have will actually reduce cost and not increase them. Then I don't think cost is the constraint. What is the constraint is more the amount of talents. Like, we need people who are excited to work in this area and are willing to join government to put their intelligence to the service of this type of work. So, for example, when Nandan Nilekani from Infosys joined the government to start, in a sense, the crazy project of giving every single Indian person a unique identification number that was tied with biomarker identification, this might have sound like a completely crazy plan, but because he had this intelligence and his wherewithal and the reputation, he could actually make it happen. And the infrastructure that has been built on the basis of the unique ID system is not without flaws and issues, but has been, on balance, transformational for many of the way that India is now delivering public services to its poor members.
Much of your work in developing these trials has been about, as you put it, finding the right question and asking questions that you can test in opposition to other ideas. Do you think that there is a time when some of this machine learning or these predictive tools could actually help you generate future questions?
I don't think so. I think what the predictive technology do is to tell you what is a likely good course of action given what you already know. I don't think so far I've seen at least applications of using them to generate an entirely new set of questions. That so far has come more from the combination of field experience and relying on the mistakes made by others.
So far, we still need humans to do the thinking.
Yeah, I think so. You need some amount of human intelligence for some time to come.
That's Esther Duflo, MIT economist, recent winner of the Nobel Prize, and author of the new book, Good Economics for Hard Times. Kai Ryssdal and I also spoke to her on the Make Me Smart podcast about the economics part. You can find that wherever you like to download. And now for some related links. You can read more about Duflo and her team's work on our website, marketplacetech.org. It is notable that Duflo is the youngest person to win a Nobel Prize for Economics at just 46, and she's only the second woman to be awarded the prize. But she is very diligent in telling us and everyone else that her work is a team effort. She won alongside her husband and research partner, Abhijit Banerjee, and their longtime colleague, Michael Kramer. Over on Make Me Smart, we talked with her about how one of the things their work has done is upend what you might call received wisdom. For example, in India and Kenya, they tested things like whether giving kids textbooks, feeding them meals at school, teaching quality, even smaller class sizes, would help students learn more. It seems obvious, right? But interestingly, none of those things made a big difference. So they worked on making schoolwork more relevant to students' actual lives and changing the way they hired teachers. The program they recommended, according to the Nobel Committee, is now helping improve the schooling of some 5 million Indian children. And I must say, considering that when we talk about the tech industry, we're very often talking about a small group of people and startup CEOs telling everyone else how things should be done. So it's kind of wonderful to find out that the best approach, actually, is to take that idea about what should work and then test it against something else to make sure it works and then throw it out if it doesn't work and go with the thing that actually is effective. I mean, that's how all of this is supposed to work, right? I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.